Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig, and this week I have been interviewing and chatting to the movers, the shakers, the producers, the dealers, the people that are creating the magic that, let's be honest, we go to the magic conventions for. And the Blackpool Magic Convention is the world's largest magic convention. There's hundreds of dealers. I can't interview everybody, so I'm picking my favorites, the ones that I think are going to be bringing something really exciting out. And when you think about exciting releases in magic and mentalism, there's one person whose name comes up again and again and again. I have gone on record as saying that I think this person is the greatest living mentalist in the world today. I think he's a legend. I think he's a genius. He's one of the only people that fools me every single time I speak to him. And I know he's going to fool me again because he always does. I am, of course, talking about the man himself, Mr. Michael Murray. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm excited. It's almost Blackpool. I love Blackpool. It's Christmas for magicians, let's be honest.
It is. It's a very exciting time.
It really is. And you know what? There's so many lectures on, there's so many shows on, but a lot of people, they come for the dealers. You could literally spend 3 days in the dealer hall and see a million things and still not see every dealer. It always happens. And I think it's really important to kind of have people know when they're coming in, where they should go to first. So obviously, I'm going to be speaking to you because for as long back as I can remember, your booth is the destination point, not just for mentalists, but for magicians. I think that one of the tricks of the convention last year, or two of the, I think you had two of the tricks of the convention last year that people are still doing now. Perfect everyday carries. Obviously, you had Showreel, the
yes,
and that was such a great prop that just was so unassuming. And those reveals of folding up, I've seen other people do that since then. You were the first person to do it, but I've seen multiple other things that are coming out that have bounced along from that. And it's in your wallet. Of course it is.
It's the EDC, the everyday carry, yeah.
It really is.
It's always here. Always here.
But not only that, you and Daniel managed to work out a way of making an everyday carry out of any card at any number, which is insane. And that was last year. And everybody was doing that. Everybody was walking around with Showreel and with Iceberg,
yeah.
And tricks of the year. So it's kind of, I suppose before we start talking about what you've got this year, do you find it difficult, like sometimes, like, oh my god, right, I've got, every year you got to top yourself and you're like, right, what am I going to do, what am I going to do to top that? Or do you find it kind of a challenge and just an easy?
No, I don't ever go out with the intention of trying to top the previous year's release. I mean, obviously, yes, that it is always nice to do that. But rather, as will become apparent in a few minutes' time, me and Dan have a little bit of a sort of friendly rivalry with regards to releases. So obviously, when he brought out Fast, the original Fast a couple of years back, that sort of was the sellout of the convention. So certainly from the Mind Effects stall, he was the victor for that particular year. Then last year, obviously, Dan did bring out Icebreaker, and I brought out Showreel. Showreel sold out, 250 copies we brought, and sold out completely. So that took the crown and glory. So really, it's not really as much about obviously topping the previous year's releases. It is a little bit of friendly rivalry between me and Dan to see, you know, who's going to have the, I suppose, the trick of the convention between us, you know. So this year, actually, the releases that we have, sort of two of them were really instigated by that friendly rivalry. So as we were driving home, we were sort of saying, okay, you know, I won this year, so who's going to win next year? So Dan said, well, look, why don't we actually create like a bit of a joint release? And then obviously, you know, we can remove all rivalry and we can just focus on that. And I have to be honest that just due to the constraints of the business and being so busy, Dan actually did a hell of a lot of the legwork. The effect that I'm talking about here is an effect called Cryptid, which does actually feature my name on there because I do actually have a contribution to the project. But Dan did such a sterling job when he actually showed me this. I was like really enamored with it. And we started off as having a little challenge between us. So it was the seven keys to bald plate. How can we modernize that? And there are a lot of sort of apps out there which will allow the magician or mentalist to unlock a participant's phone. So we decided to put our minds at creating the exact opposite. That is a technique for the participants to unlock our mobile phones. So that's basically how it all started. Dan did the legwork and pretty much came to me with a complete finished product. And he's like, right, here you go. And I'm like, okay, you've done all the hard work. We'll just release that. That's great. But I can't put my name on it because I haven't contributed anything to it. So I've spent the past several months trying to catch up, and I've got my own little inclusion on there. So you get two routines. There's a deluxe version and a standard version, which are going to be available. The deluxe version comes with an extra something, which I think a lot of people are going to have fun with. And then we also have this.
Before we go on signs, I don't want to like skip that over. So hang on, you're telling me that using that is an effect where the participant, the spectator, the volunteer can literally unlock the mentalist or the magician's phone.
Yeah, and it's the genuine lock screen. There's no app there. It's very clever, and it's just nice to reverse the roles. But Dan did an absolute superb job in coming up with an entire motivation. I mean, Dan is very good at coming up with sort of scripting and presentations. And one thing that he mentioned, which is all part of the sort of the theme, is that there's often no villain in magic. Or mentalism within obviously the framework of any routine, and you know every story that you tell has to have a villain. So what he's done is he's done a wonderful job in motivating the reason why you're actually performing this in the first place. Why should the participant even bother trying to attempt to guess your bank account PIN or your passcode to your bank? And it's all well motivated and based on an actual true event. Dan's details, his phone was hacked, his bank was hacked, and subsequent to that, he had to change all of his passwords. And, you know, it's a nightmare. Everybody understands that it's a nightmare to remember passwords when you first create them, never mind having sort of changed them repeatedly. It's a constant bugbear and all of that. Thematically, I think just works so well with this release because it's something that people understand. It's something that people are concerned about. It's something that people are familiar with, but also empowers the participant because the participant gets to unlock our phone rather than us, you know, potentially knowing what their passcode is going to be.
Wow. And there's no app, really. There's no app.
Nope. There's no app. As I say, some people mightn't want to actually change the physical passcode to the bank. So, or to the bank, rather, not to the bank. Don't do that. Don't use the passcode we suggest for your bank. But there are alternatives. So you can actually genuinely use it as your phone unlock. We tell you what the password should be and obviously the modus operandi behind it, and the participant will genuinely get in there. Or if you don't want to actually set this code as your unlock code, then there are alternative ways that you can actually reveal what the number is, which are equally as strong. So I've got two methods for that, and so is Dan. So, yeah, they're all part and parcel of the project.
Okay, that's insane. One question, will that work? I'm assuming as there's no app, that will work with an Android phone and...
Yeah,
and
a... mm-hmm. And any app or sorry, any mobile device which can have a numerical entry passcode. So for my personal routine, I use a 6-digit passcode. For Dan's routine, uses a 4-digit passcode, which is, again, it's all well motivated. The reason why Dan uses 4, which becomes apparent when he talks about getting his bank account broken into, when he produces a bank card, he's hiding the last 4 digits, and you know, all of this becomes a part and parcel of the entire routine. And then I've got almost like a 1 in a million where we're actually using 6 digits and the participant generates a 6-digit number. And ultimately, that's proven to be the passcode for your phone. And I also have sort of inbuilt within the presentation an additional bit of proof that, you know, the participant has arrived at genuinely the correct code. So even if they for one moment suspect that you could be using some sort of app on your phone, that's entirely dispelled. And it's also dispelled the notion that any other passcode could get into your phone, because I actually get the, or invite the participant to try several combinations before they actually enter the one that that they've generated.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I mean, that's incredible. Okay. But you do realize, by the way, Michael, that when you're creating magic, when you and Daniel are creating magic and mentalism, you're not allowed to use real magic. It's not fair on the other crate.
Well, so you know. Dan does love his restrictions, and he did say, look, we can't do it for real, you know, so we've got to have a method there.
Wow, that's incredible. And then you showed me something else, signs. Is that with Daniel?
Yes. So that is another Daniel Dorian Johnson, aka Freak, release. Again, there are ideas and suggestions by me. I sort of instigated this project many years back. We were at my little holiday home having a few drinks late into the twilight hours, and I suggested, we got onto a conversation talking about ghosts and the afterlife, and I suggested to Dan that I could conclusively prove the existence of the afterlife. And this was all just a gag, but this gag really kept us up until about 5 a.m. in the morning, and we came up with a multitude of different variants of this gag, and we wanted to sort of put it together in some form of release, but obviously just a gag on its own is just a gag. So what we've used is the gag as a medium to actually teach people a multitude of switches, which is obviously, you know, a highly potent thing for any magician or mentalist to use. But as you will be aware yourself, it can be quite a daunting thing to first begin using switches in front of, like, live in performance, in front of participants. Perhaps, you know, especially so for people who aren't used to any sleight of hand techniques, you know, they may be very wary and sort of conscious about what it is that they're doing. But using the coupling of both the gag and the switches that we teach, it really helps to build confidence in the switches, because the switch is secondary, the gag is the most important thing. So even when you're first practicing the switching techniques, if you're actually caught, it really doesn't matter, because all you're hoping to achieve is the gag. So we're using the gag as a vehicle to teach magicians and mentalists something, you know, even bigger, if you like, so that, you know, they can look outside of the framework of this sort of scary technique that they're, you know, maybe reluctant to learn otherwise. So there's a number of different switches which are taught, table switches, in the hand switches, you know, full card switches. So, yeah, it's a nice little project. It's going to be reasonably inexpensive. I think Dan had priced this one, I believe, at £15. There's wow. About an hour's tutorial. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, the gag itself is really good. I really love the gag. And there's a multitude of different gags that actually come with it, depending on, obviously, your audience. If you're working for a more risky stag and hen style group, or if you're working for a more reserved group, then there's obviously alternative approaches that that you can use. But, yeah, two very exciting releases.
That's right there. That's really, really good. Okay. So I know that's not going to be all. What else? Those two right there. I mean, that sign seems very intriguing. I can't wait to watch that. And the other one sounds impossible. What else have we got?
So, very pleased to announce that Mark Shandow has a brand new book test. Well, it's sort of four book tests. They all work the exact same way, but there's sort of four variations, so people can choose the sort of cover or not.
Essentially, one of these. I saw Mark do this a few months ago, and he blew my mind with it. And then through the post, this is the type of person Mark is. Through the post, he posted me all four of the books, and there is so much built into it, like so much built into it, like it's incredible. Like he's kind of gone, right, okay, we'll take every single mentalism technique that's ever been created and we'll stick it into a book to the normal book. Like you can literally sit there and read this bloody book. And it reads as a normal book. A lot of book tests, you read it and it just doesn't make sense if you go more than a couple of sentences. This whole thing, like if I read the whole book, I'd probably find it was a very bad book, but I can read it. but then you've got, like, just off the top of my head, Mother of All Book Test is built into it. The Crib is built into it in a really clever way. You've got the Pegasus page built into it. The best way I've ever seen the Pegasus page being built into a book, by the way. You've got a really cool, like, updated version of the flashback principle that's much better than the original flashback principle, and you've got it built up in many different ways. So you can literally take this book. You should be doing this. Like, I mean, this is your product, but I'm like, I've seen this. It's like, literally do a 15-minute...
You're going to be working on our stand.
I am. I want to. It's like a 15-minute act with just a book. You can start with three or four different ways, because normally you can only do flashback once, but this way you can do it like multiple times. You can do a tossed out book if you want to type thing with it. This is incredible. I didn't realize Mark was releasing this with you. This is great, mate. This is really good.
Well, it's Mark's main release, but what I've decided to do, because Mark was very, very kind, I sort of helped him a little with the technique, or rather just give them permission to use one of my ideas for the mother of all book tests portion of the effect, because it's important to mention that with the mother of all book tests portion, you never need to know a single letter, which is think one of the main advantages of the book itself. He also incorporates a beautiful idea from Christine Grace, which is adopted from his fantastic Enigma, which is well worth seeing, by the way. If you're at Blackpool, do yourself a favor and check out Enigma. Mark was very kind, obviously, under the fact that I give him permission to use one of my ideas as a part and parcel of it. He very kindly allowed Mind Effects to actually be a platform for its release. So Mark's actually going to be on stand himself, and he's going to be demonstrating that throughout the Blackpool convention. So you do need to do yourself a favour and head over. He is selling these as individual books, and he also has some fantastic offers if you're actually buying multiple versions as well, which is great.
Right, what else? You can have it as a walk around thing. It fits perfect as a walk around or a banquet style performer.
But it's
big enough to play, especially if you have all four books and you go pick a book. It's big enough to play to like the biggest audience. It's great. And Mark's such a nice guy. He's such a wow. That's great. That's awesome.
And I think we've got to give kudos to him for the actual artwork, which is actually on the design work of the books themselves. A lot of people actually thought Phil Smith was involved. You know, Phil's absolute phenomenal. And he actually helped you release something, a certain deck of cards recently, didn't he?
He helped evoke an idea that I had, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
So, yeah, kudos to Mark. He's done a tremendous job. So, Phil Smith, you've got to watch your back. Somebody's hot on your tails there.
That's amazing. That's great. Okay. I'm loving that. That's awesome.
So what else have we got for you? We have Steve Cook maybe appearing on the stand from time to time, because we have Steve Hairsign, who's actually been trained up in actually demonstrating Invisible, which is one of Steve Cook's latest releases. So he's going to be on hand to demonstrate that. And also, we have a brand new set of ASP cards from Steve Hairsign himself, which actually they're going to come with a series of different routines. I'm actually doing the video and later on this week for a couple of the routines, which are actually going to be part and parcel of the package. But the routines which I've used for years and routines which get a phenomenal reaction, all of which are very, very easy to do as well. Steve Hairsign from Hairsign Press has done a wonderful job in actually designing these cards. I haven't actually got the samples in my hands as yet, but they will be due with Steve shortly, so they're going to be released in time for Blackpool. So anybody who knows Steve Cook's work knows that the effects are always very, very simple to do, but very hard hitting. I mean, anybody who's got Swindle, I know you featured that on one of your shows.
I love Swindle, yeah.
It's just, you know, so simple but so effective. So anybody who's got an interest in the work of both Steve Hairsign or Steve Cook should come over. We do have a very small number of Steve Cook's books left. The 24-carat gold, I believe, to date, we've probably got about 25 copies left, and then basically there is no more. So we've got those, and then that is almost it.
Almost. Before we go into the almost, I just want to say, by the way, for the people that are watching this that don't know, a lot of the, when you think of ESP matchups and ESP matchup routines, a lot of the stuff that people do was pioneered by you. You came up with a lot of the techniques with matchups and stuff that are now considered, you know, like the leading way of doing matchups. So the fact that you're putting your company's name on a product that's an ESP, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, there's some great ideas. Yeah, Dave Humphrey was the guy that came up with the original jazz mentalism routine, which is, I suppose, a lot of people sort of link that with me because Dave's just he's a very close friend, but he does deserve all credit for that, Dave Humphrey. And that is probably my most performed ESP routine in existence, second to Tattletailed, which has evolved into a routine called Serendipity. If anybody wants to see that, you know, I'm more than happy to demonstrate that on the stand too. But yeah, ESP matchups, you know, I love just carrying something as simple as 10 cards in my pocket, 5 for me, 5 for the participant, and then, you know, you're ready to rock with it. It's really good.
So you say almost.
Almost, yes. Because I do have two releases of my own, which, you know, besides obviously the co-release with Danielle Johnson, I have two effects. Which are very much one in the same. The methods are completely different, but they are almost one in the same release. So I have constantly endeavored to try and find the most streamlined way of revealing a thought of card. This basically harkens back to the release of Isolation, whereby I created and wrote the book on a bunch or a multitude of different techniques to be able to discern the value and suit of a playing card that just exists in somebody's mind.
I remember you showing me that at the Ruskin.
Yes. And
destroying me. I remember being destroyed. Like, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, Michael. And you were like, you show me something. And I'm pretty sure you'd had like a lot to drink. And then you show me this thing. And all I can say is, you had me think of a playing card and you told me exactly what it is with no fishing, no nothing. And yeah, my mind was blown. That was the highlight of that convention that year. Yeah.
Much appreciated. So yeah, so Isolation was really my attempt at writing the Bible of a thought of card, a revelation effect. Now, you know, whilst I still love it and, you know, it's still got a special place in my heart, there is work to be done. So, you know, the very fact that we can just ask somebody just to think of a card and a suit and then obviously proceed to be able to name that does mean that we have some legwork to do, some memory work in order to actually achieve the effect. So I tried to sort a way or to come up with an alternative approach to that effect that would, first of all, suffice for any language. Because Isolation was written for an English-speaking audience, and it would be you know, a major job to actually try and create a variant of that for each and every language. I know your recent release, people have been saying, can you translate? Can you bring it out in French? Can you bring it out in German, Italian, so forth? And that there's so much work that has to go into that, because you do have to, you know, literally rebuild it from the ground up. So I brought out a second release a couple of years back, which was Aureality, which was a universal approach to revealing a thought of card. But I had a message from a older gentleman. I believe he was in his 80s, and he sent me a rather lovely email, really sort of praising the material that I'd released, suggesting he loved Isolation, he loved Aureality, but that at the age he was, he couldn't, or he struggled with the memory work that was required. So even though Aureality was far simpler and far easier to memorize than the work that was required for Isolation, he still struggled. So he had sort of liaised with me and said, you know, could you not simplify it and distill it even further? And initially, I had explained to him that in trying to simplify a thought of card reveal, we must impose further restriction on our participant because, you know, the less free choice that they have, the easier our work is going to be. So the more information we can actually force, the easier our work is going to be. So there was a major trade-off. And but I still promised him that I wasn't going to give up on that, that I was going to, you know, continue chipping away behind the scenes. So I looked back over some of the older videos that I posted on the Isolation group, and there was a couple of systems that I had started devising, toying with and left off to one side. And I started working with those more and more, and discovered that I could pretty much eradicate all of the issues that I ever had with Aureality. You don't have to call any playing card values out loud or suits out loud. And the process is super streamlined. So I came up with one version of the effect. And this is something which I will be demonstrating for you personally. It's not an effect that has been designed to actually be performed via a virtual medium, but we will get onto this so you get a flavor of what this is all about. But just simply carrying these two cards inside your wallet. These are just prototypes. The actual physical card is going to be printed on 100% plastic. They're going to be business card size. So just with two cards that you slip inside your wallet, you're going to be able to reveal a thought of card in what I feel is almost the cleanest way imaginable. Now, I say almost the cleanest way imaginable because when I was playing with this idea, I was contacted by a mutual friend of ours, Christian Grace, and I was running the idea by him. And Christian was really enamored with what it is that I was showing him. And he suggested something to me that wouldn't work. He said, how about doing it this way? And it wouldn't work. And I said, I explained the reasons why it wouldn't work. And then Christian thought about it a little more. And then he came back to me and made another suggestion for just a slight tweak in the methodology. But that slight tweak pays complete dividends to the overall end result. So as a result of that, I created a secondary release. So the overall effect is the same, i.e. we're able to reveal the name of a thought of card. However, rather than carrying two cards, all you require is one single poker chip. So one single poker chip, any of the 52 cards could be technically thought of, and you're able to reveal the specific card that exists in the participant's mind. It seems completely free, seems completely fair. There's no long drawn out process. You know, I know a lot of people who are, you know, dissuaded by probabilist mentalism because they think A, it's unreliable or too process heavy. And I've really sort of taken on board throughout the years all of the comments and, you know, tried to distill things down to reach the maximum effort with the minimal process. And this, the participant flips a coin, flips one of the poker chips, looks at it, changes the mind, thinks of a playing card, and you can tell them what it is. It really doesn't get any more straightforward than that. So when I decided to put this together, I also had a Three poker chip effect, which actually was part and parcel of a release that I did with Magic Box many years ago. And this was a release called Poker Face. And I came up with a routine that I called Viva Cabaret. Now, this was a variant or my personal rendition of an effect called Visa Cabaret by Stephen Tucker.
The wallet. And yes. The three bills. Yeah, classic.
Yeah, so yeah, a wallet and three items in there. They remove them, place them in different places upon their person. And then there's also a folded piece of paper which correctly predicts where they are. So I really love that effect. Wayne Dobson also brought out like a smaller wallet version, which was superb. Still love it. But I wanted to be able to perform that effect completely hands off. I created a routine, which, as I say, was included in a prior release, Poker Face by Pablo Amira. I also released the same routine with my book that I brought out in conjunction with Ian Rasp Cheatham, which was the Remote Perception System. And that came with three poker chips with the rock, paper, scissors symbols on there, and that routine's basically now been included. But this all makes perfect sense, at least in my opinion, just the context of actually revealing a card, because a lot of people say, you know, thought of card, does it have its place in mentalism, or does it have its place in magic? And I think it's all down to context. But if we're talking about visiting the casino and gambling and using the poker chips, that all of a sudden, you know, what marries up with poker chips? You know, what's the second thing that comes into mind when you walk into a casino? If I see you name two items at a casino, it's going to be, you know, maybe roulette table, yes, maybe. But you've got playing cards, and you've also got the poker chips. So by combining the routine, we can first of all get a read on our participant. So the participant mixes up the chips, places one in each hand, one in the back pocket. We're not only able to distinguish when the participant's telling the truth, when they're lying, without any of the usual liar, truth teller methodology, because we just know what the participant's thinking each time. And because we now imply that we've had a read on the participant, now we understand how they compose themselves when they lie, how they tell the truth and the way that they think. We now offer to edge our bets and test our luck and risk the participant getting to keep one of the poker chips if we fail to guess the playing card that exists in their mind. And ultimately, we're able to do just that. So that is something which I'm very much looking forward to showing people as I am with this. I think these two effects will appeal to two different audiences, but I will be doing a special for those that wish to have both of them. But yeah, super excited.
You said you can show me the first version. It's not designed for a virtual, but you can show me.
I can, yes. Yes, okay. Certainly can.
Well, let's have a look at that, because I'm very curious to see what this is all about.
So, Craig, this isn't an effect that's been designed to be performed via a virtual medium, but we're gonna attempt it nonetheless. Okay. So I've discussed over the call how to actually create a set of these cards. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take one of the cards in your left hand, one of the cards in your right hand, and you will notice that there are two words written on each card. So on one side of the first card, you've got the word low. And then on the opposite side, you've got the word high. On the other card, you've got the word odd. And on the opposite side, you've got the word even. Yes?
Yeah.
Now, there's also suits on the cards as well. And what's interesting is if we sort of pair the cards together. So if you have them so that you can see the word low and odd, and if you pair them together, you'll notice there's a dominant suit. You should be able to see four suits, but two of them match.
Yes.
What suit is that?
Spade.
Okay. If you turn over the card in your right hand, and then if you sort of pair the cards together, what's the dominant suit now?
Heart.
Okay. If you turn the card in your left hand over and pair them together, what's the dominant suit now?
Club.
Okay, perfect. And if you turn the card in your right hand over, then you have
the diamond. Word...
The diamond. Okay. If you just take the card in your right hand and just flip it over, I'm going to leave you to tell me what you see now. What's the dominant suit?
It is club.
Okay, perfect. Now, this is just so that you understand that we can cover pretty much any playing card using these cards, because as you know, cards can be high, they can be low, they can be odd, they can be even, and they can be one of four different suits. At this moment in time, not that I've really kept track, but I believe I do know the orientation of those cards. So do me a favor, Craig, take both of those cards below the table. Okay. Yep. And what I want you to do is I want you just to flip one of them over. Okay.
Okay.
Whichever one you flip over, place it on top of the other one.
Got it.
Now, is it fair for me to say that I couldn't know which card you flipped over?
Not a chance.
So I don't know the orientation of the cards?
No.
But you might, and it's most important that you don't. So what I want you to do is take both cards together as a pair and just give them a spin, like this. And what I'd like you to do is just stop whenever you want.
Okay.
In fact, whatever the top card is, I'd like you just to place it on the bottom.
Okay.
Give them another spin. And again, stop wherever you want.
Done.
In fact, whatever the top card is, flip it face up. Okay?
Yep.
And take one card in each hand.
Yep.
So you don't know the orientation of the cards at the minute, so I can't. I couldn't know which card you flipped over. I couldn't know what card you placed top to bottom. I couldn't know when you were spinning those cards where you decided to stop. I couldn't know anything.
Nope.
But what I want you to do is I want you to get a playing card in mind. So what I'd like you to do is, have you got a card in each hand? If yeah. not, take a card in each hand and slowly sort of pull them from under the table, just enough so that you can see what's written on them. There'll be two words that you can see. The words will be high, low, odd, or even. It'll be a combination of those words.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to use those two words to formulate a playing card value in your mind.
Okay, yeah.
And then what I'd like you to do is pair them together so that you can see the dominant suit.
Yes.
And whatever the dominant suit is, that'll be the suit of your card.
Yes, got it.
Okay, you can place those cards off to one side now. We just use those to create a playing card in your mind, one card from 52. And as we already explained, depending on the orientation of the cards, the suit will change depending on the orientation of the cards. The entire playing card would change.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what, Craig, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to make this very easy for you. Can you just imagine that I'm holding the three of spades?
What the fuck? That's insane. That's insane. That's ridiculous. How would you even do that? Like, that's like the holy grail of card magic right there, Michael. That's ridiculous.
Well, actually, if you think that's good, and we will be talking about this elsewhere on this broadcast, but this, I feel, is even better still.
I can't see how, but okay. That's incredible, man. That's so good. Wow. You know, like when you see something and you're trying to desperately reverse engineer it to try and figure out what the hell happened. I've got nothing, like nothing. Like I can't even begin to think about. That's good. That's really good. Holy shit. Holy shit. Like, genuinely, I'm a magician. Okay, I have no idea how this works. I've been doing this for a very long time. But not only do I not have any idea how this works, obviously, when you're doing this to me, I was thinking, he's going to somehow get my card. But then you just went, boom, yeah. This one. and
That's the reaction that I get every time. Everybody's expecting more. We've got a card.
That's what it was, Michael. Yeah, I was expecting that to be the start of the procedure. I was like, okay, he's got me to do all this. It feels very random. And now we start the honing in procedure where we're slowly going to get to what I'm thinking. And then, no, it was like, right, okay, you got that. Let me just
a left hook. The
nuts. Yeah, as hard as you can. That's fucking amazing. Like, you, yeah, right. I've said this probably. Oh, no. You got the trick of the convention again, mate. Honestly, that's the holy grail. That right there, you can give somebody. I mean, the poker chip thing is amazing. And the first thing I'm going to do is see that. I want to come and see that. Yeah. But let's put that aside for now, because I'm talking about what I've just seen. Having the ability to have two playing cards or business card, laminated, whatever it is, plastic card, you put those in your wallet and then you just, oh, you want to see a trick? Hang on, everyday carry? That does to the thought of card plot, which, let's be honest right now, is the holy grail for magicians, mentalists. It really is. That does for that plot what Iceberg did for the any card at any number. Let's just eliminate the deck of cards. Let's just forget about that. Let's just cut straight to the chase.
Yep. Yep. And obviously, if you want to repeat it, so if you've got, you know, if you've got a group, rather than actually just revealing the one card there and then, okay, you take the cards and, you know, you can have multiple people think of different playing cards and you can just reveal them all.
I started this interview by telling you that I tell everybody that you're a genius. And just in case people were thinking I was blowing smoke up your ass, I'm not, because you've just proven again that you're a genius. You are. You're the greatest living mentalist in the world today. You are. You're amazing, Michael. You're amazing. That is the trick of the convention. That's it. That's it. Knowing you, you're also insane when it comes to your prices. I bet you that's going to be something that's very, 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 very reasonably priced as well.
Yeah, I haven't quite settled on a price as yet, but I'm thinking maybe £15.
Hang on.
It's not going to be an expensive one.
You've developed a system that basically allows people to do real mind reading without even needing a deck of cards. You can carry it around doing it anywhere. And you're like, yeah, it's going to be about 15 quid or so. That's, oh my God.
Not going to be expensive. And then obviously for those people who want to actually take both, then we'll get a nice little bundle deal offered for the pair.
So now everybody that's been watching this interview, if you've been like struggling with what to do and like, oh, I want to go to the dealers, but I also want to go and see all the shows and there's all these lectures on and the crossover, how am I going to find time to do everything? Literally, you walk into the dealer hall, you go to Michael's stand, you go and buy everything. Then you walk out the dealer stall and you don't go back in there again because you don't need to because you're done. Go and see the lectures instead. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That is amazing. I love how you were very understatedly said, oh, God, that's almost everything. Like, no. That's the mother of God. That's just great. Wow. I can't wait to see you, Michael. And I really thank you for showing me that. And also, you know, for coming on. I know that like this time of filming, we're about a week away from Blackpool. I know that you're busy. You said to me, I'm busy stickering poker chips. I'm busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. I'm making sure everything's ready. So, you know, thanks for taking half an hour out to jump on here.
That's always a pleasure. Always an absolute pleasure. I'm looking forward to showing you this.
I cannot wait to see it. You've hit it out the park. You've got Mark Chandow there with the book test. I've been telling everyone how good that book test is.
Yeah, it's the who's who of mentalism on the stand. Yeah. Not me, of course, but everybody else.
You got Daniel, you got yourself, you've got Mark, Steve Cook. God. I was speaking to Luca Volpe the other day, and I said, there's only one mentalism lecture. The whole of Blackpool, there's only one mentalism lecture. That's a shame, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, I'm representing the whole of mentalism, but it's alive and well in the dealer hall. You've got all the mentalists on your...
Yeah, we're making all up.
Mentalists over there with you. Wow. That's amazing, man. You're gonna do great. You don't need me to tell you. It's going to be wow.
I'm so super excited to be there.
Should be. Thank you so much for jumping on.
An absolute pleasure. An absolute first pint's on me.
No, the first pint's on me. I've just been...
No, the first one's on me. The rest are on you.
Take the man out of Newcastle, but you can't take the Newcastle out of the man, can you? Okay, that's a deal. Michael, thank you so much. On behalf of everyone that's watched this interview, thank you for jumping on the channel. I really appreciate it. And guys, you've just heard, you've just seen potentially the best trick of Blackpool 2024. Go and see Michael. Go and check it out, because it's absolutely unbelievable, just like every single year. And on behalf of Michael Murray, I will see you again soon on another one of these videos. We'll see you at Blackpool. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Craig. I'm confused. I can't even do the wrap up. My head is blown. Yeah, exactly. I'm Craig. He's Michael. This is Magic TV. We'll see you at Blackpool.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.